And God takes very serious when you decided to say, I don't care about if it's cold outside, but I'm going to go to the house of God and I'm going to hear him. You probably decided to say, I'm just going to go there and sit there. But God values your time that you've decided that I'm going to come into his house and I'm going to hear from him. And this is how God communicated to all of us. Hallelujah. And this week I was reading a scripture, and this scripture just came up to me. And the Bible say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. In other words, maybe you know the person who come to church every Sunday. Bible never say that only for the people who come to church every Sunday to give praise to the Lord. It say everybody who has breath, give praise to the Lord. So you don't come to church every Sunday, but don't worry. God is so good and he's so awesome that he deserves our gratitude to him. This morning that we are sitting on these chairs and you think it's by chance, it is not. It is because of his grace, I just want to remind you, it is because of his mercy. None of us deserve all of this. It's because himself is so wonderful. And the Bible is very clear. Say, I first loved you, never loved me. Now I will do it again if I have to come and down the cross for you. This is how God loves us. He said, you know what? I love you. And it's very important when we learn how to give gratitude to God. When you come up here and you sit here and you hear praise and worship, I want you to get to the habit where you just open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you because I have a life to live. I thank you because I've got a place to stay in and I've got my family. I'm the husband, I'm a wife, I'm a child. You have every reason to give thanks to the Lord. And I know why I'm telling you that, because I've been to the hospital for the past few weeks visiting someone who's very very close to me. And I have seen, even though I believe to the medical doctor, though they are performing these amazing things they're doing to people's life, but I know some cases, you know, this is not them. This is the hand of God upon God upon this individual's life. And I wanted to just to remind you, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And the Bible says this, wake up in the morning, learn to give gratitude to God. Learn to just open your mouth and say, Lord, I thank you because I can go to work this morning. I've got a job. That's encouragement to you. I thank you, Lord, instead of complaining, because every time when you learn to complain, you are missing out what God has in store for us. Because you're so busy tuning yourself in this complaining mentality. And God say, I want to talk to you. When you learn how to give thanks to the Lord himself, he'll start communicating, because you understand that you're not here by chances, because he has decided you to be here. And that's my encouragement to you this morning. And God loves you so much. And he cares about you so much. Hallelujah. I've watched this testimony this week on the YouTube. And I love to watch testimony, because testimony helped me to grow spiritually. Testimony remind me the power of God as is upon my life. And I watched this guy. He's in Australia. He was transgender. He changes everything about himself. And one day, I think he's about late 60s or 70 now. And one day he found himself in the emergency room. And he was sitting on a wheelchair to be treated. Now, while he was sitting there, it just something fell out on him and started feeling guilty and ashamed. That's what sin does to all of us. And while he was sitting there thinking, you know, look himself and he's in emergency to see a doctor, there was an old couple sitting at the emergency. And this old couple, they look at him with the eyes of compassion. And this old couple, they thought, you know, let me just go and talk to one. This lady decided to go to speak to this gentleman who was transgender. And he said to him, do you know Jesus? Him being full of pride, he said, yes, I know him, because he didn't want to hear any more about anything to do with Jesus. So he said, I know him. So he kind of cut him short and just leave me alone and live with my life and I want to carry on. This gentleman, he went home for the next 5 weeks. That voice he kept repeating in his head said, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And this gentleman, he could not give up. He said, you know what? Now I've heard it. Now I'm going to watch a television to do something to do with God. And guess what? The moment he did that, his life was transformed and he was changed. 14 years now, he became a Christian. He's no longer transgender and is out there preaching the gospel. Why am I telling you this story? There's a power in the name of Jesus. There is a power when you speak the name of Jesus, the fear and anxiety goes away. When you speak the name of Jesus, depression that got hold of you goes away. Because you're speaking the name of Jesus Christ, which his name is so powerful. When you speak in the name of Jesus, there's life. In the name of Jesus, there is a power. There is a purpose. There is healing. That's the name of the one we serve this morning. Hallelujah. And what a testimony to know that just only he had to do is just to speak that name. Don't get discouraged. You can say to your friend at workplace and say, you know what? Do you know Jesus? Maybe that's all you have to do. Maybe this is all you have to tell the people. And you have already told your testimony to them. They will go out home and you'll start to think, you know what? That individual just told me about Jesus. Who is this Jesus guy? Your job is done. You have sown a seed of the Messiah upon their life. Hallelujah. I'm going to want to talk to you today about the light, about obedience. It's not something that you hear very often to church when some about a topic about obedience, but I think it is very important when we talk about obedience in the church. Because if we don't get this right, everything else is not going to be okay. We need to be obedient to God. We need to obey him. Now, I wanted to go to you, if you have your Bible, before I do that, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and stand before your people. What a privilege, oh God. I was about to share your word, Father, this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take over and speak through me. I'm just a humble servant who's willing and ready to deliver your message, oh God. Not only that, Father, I have seen you in my life, how you've performed miracles and how you've delivered me and how you've continued to deliver me. And how you continue to show your power and your presence in my life, Lord. So this morning, use me as your instrument. Holy Spirit, take over. Speak to every man and every woman, every child who is sitting in this chair this morning. Because you've led them into this place, in this house, Father. They come to hear from you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. And I believe. Amen. I want to read from the 1 John chapter 5. This is how we know that we love the children of God by loving God. God carrying out his command. This love for God, to obey his command, and his commandment are not burdensome. Hallelujah. And I want to go to read Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nation of the earth. All this blessing will come upon you and accompany you if you obey Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crop of your land, and the young of the livestock, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flock, your basket and your netting through it will be blessed. Now I want you to jump to verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not do carefully and follow all his commands and decrees that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and in the country. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but if you have time, just read the whole verse, you find out yourself. Hallelujah. Last few weeks, Pastor has been talking about church vision and our goals, what we're about to do in this church, and we know what is the plan for the next year. We had the opportunity to sit with Pastor Terry, we talk about it. And also, as personally, individually, I want to have my goals for this year. What is my goal? Because I'm a Christian. You see, I don't just want to be the disciple of Jesus when I show up to church. I want to be the disciple of Jesus even when I'm outside of this building. That my life should reflect that I'm a true disciple of Messiah. Now, I've decided this is for me. I don't know about you. This is my goal for this year, what I'm planning to do. I said, Lord, I want to be that person who speaks the truth and also live the truth. It's very challenging because I know sometimes we can speak the truth and behind the scene we can live the different life compared to what we are speaking. Especially if you're a minister or if you're Christian, you can speak the truth to people, but you yourself, you're not living the truth that you proclaim to other people. So that is my goal for this year. So I don't want to just become, that's what I'm saying to you, that it's not going to be easy, but I know the one I serve, he is able to help me to accomplish that. Hallelujah. And that's why I say to you, God delights in obedience, because the only way to see that is happening, I need to first of all to obey God and his word. Praise the Lord, church. Obedience is not something that, obedience to all of us, it's not something you can, it is an action thing. Obedience, it is active. Obedience to God is more it is a decision you have to make. It is intentional. Pastor Terry speaks to us every Sunday here. Now, every time when he speaks, it's my decision when he finished to preach to me if I'm going to go home and open that Bible, because if I don't, then everything he has said to me for the next time, I will lose it. So it's going to be intentional that if I really want to obey God, obedience, it is intentional. That you're going to make decision, I'm going to obey God and his word. I'm going to listen to God, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to obey him. It is intentional. It's not going to, the angel, they're going to come to you and say, here's the Bible, I want you to read. But often as a Christian, we don't even have a devotional life nowadays. Because we are bombarded with so many things around us. So even devotional life nowadays, we don't have it. Now, we're saying, well, sorry if I'm going to offend you, but I'm going to speak the truth and only God can know that I'll speak that if I have to. But if we don't have the devotional life, how can we hear from him? Now, the only way for you to have that life that God has intended for you to have is to have the time quiet with him. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be sitting in your car. Christian today, the average Christian today, we don't have a devotional life. A simple scripture that we can just read one sentence. We don't have that, you. And all you have to understand that without that, we can never see the power and the presence of God in our life. Obedience is an action. And why do we have to obey God? Why obedience is so important? Simple. I just read the scripture there. It shows that obedience proves that our love to him. If you really truly love me, you obey my word, the only way is for you have to prove yourself to him, then you need to spend time in his word. Say, you obey my command. Not only that, he demonstrates our faithfulness to him. That this is how much I love you, God. This is how much I am ready to do, because you are my God and you alone. The moment I accept you as my personal savior, you no longer is you that to control your life, but him who controls your life. We obey his commanding, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love him. Hallelujah. Because we love him and because we want to. Obedience, we learn how to hear and listen to God. And only that, we learn how to follow his command. And when we learn to obey God, that's when we live the life full of joy. Only in obedience. I'm not telling that because you obey God, you're not going to face challenges, you will do. But there's a moment you say, I'm going to obey God, it is when you're going to start to experience the joy of God. Obeying God is going to save you so many things in life. And so many things. One of them last week, I made a decision and it cost me a good lot of money. About £600 I lost it. And this week, I look at my bank statement, I thought, wow, all that money is gone. And the Holy Spirit was so faithful to me. And he said, Benny, the reason because you lost all that money, and I was telling my wife the other day, yesterday, it's because you did not include me in your decision making. Now, when I was making that decision, I was under pressure. and I involve someone else who was also in a panicky situation. So what I did, I make a phone call and I say, okay, carry on, you do that. And that was it. Never involve God. I decided to do things in my own way because these things need to be done. It is important and I need to do it now because it's urgent. Then I need to make that decision. And most of us will make that decision. The moment when you decided not to obey, when you obey God, listen, you're going to save a lot from headaches, a lot of suffering from embarrassment, a lot of it from the loss. I lost money this time. The moment when you decided to obey God, you know what? I was, no matter how small it is, let me tell you one thing. The moment you say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. In other words, this, he says, I control everything about you. My life is belong to you. It means I have got no say whatsoever. I have got no power whatsoever. In every decision I'm trying to make in my life, he has to be involved. Now, I lost money because I never acknowledged him. I thought I can solve this issue just because I had the money. And guess what? Down the line, I thought, whoa, that was a stupid mistake I ever made. Just because I disobey God, I never go and ask God, God, what do you want me to do about this situation? That cost me. It cost me money. This time, it is money. I don't know about next time. So every time when you're obeying God, it is for your own good. Every time when you say, God, I'm going to involve, it doesn't matter how simple it is, even for you to meet a friend. You know, sometimes people call me to preach, and unless if God speaks to me, I don't go. As good as it feels like I need to go to preach to people so you can hear me saying something, if God is not with me, I will not go because I know if God says no, it means he's not going to go with me. And with the problem is of that is that it will be me speaking and not the Holy Spirit that will resident inside of me. So what is going to coming out of my mouth is what is mine, not of God. And this is how Christian we live at this time. The reason we don't know, the moment you decide not to obey God, there is a consequence that we're all going to fail. Obedience, I love Pastor Charles Stanley. He always say this, obedience is to do what God says to do, how he says to do it, and when he says to do it. And I love he always say one thing, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. I love that statement. Obey God and leave all the consequences to him. Because the moment I decided to obey God, in other words, everything that I have, even if it seems like a God, it doesn't make no sense. It's not your problem. It is God's problem. So you obey God and leave all the consequence to him. Now, Christian, right now, there's so many voices that is guiding us this today. There's a voice that is guiding through your finances. Something else, what is guiding today is guiding your relationship. And also, there's a voice also guiding something else in your life. Now, I want you to remind, the Holy Spirit is here. Jesus said to all of us that, I will send a helper. Okay? His name is the Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture describes the Holy Spirit. It's not just a helper, but he's the one who's going to guide you. Because Jesus is full aware that you will never make it by yourself. That in some stage of your life, even when you've been Christian for so many, you are going to need the Holy Spirit to guide you. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, you have to remember that we live in a time, there's every voice trying to get our attention. Everybody wants to get your attention now. If it's not on your mobile phone, it'll be a television that's going to get your attention. If it's not that, there's something else is going to get your attention. Now, who's getting your attention right at this point? Before I continue, I want to go to just to show you something in the book of Samuel chapter 15. Now, I'm going to read all of it. And Samuel said to Saul, I am the Lord sent to anoint you, the king over his people Israel. So now listen now to the messages from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty say. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to the Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep and camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Tehran, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from the Judah. So Saul went to the city of Amalek and he sent an ambush into Raven. Then he said to the Canaanites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you show kindness to all the Israelites when they came up to the Egypt." So the Canaanites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near to the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agai, the king of Amalekite, alive, and all the people he destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agai and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fat calves and the lambs and everything that was good. This they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weakened, they were totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret I have made Saul a king, because he has turned away from me, and he has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up, and he went to meet Saul. But he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor, and he has gone down to Gilgal." When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you, because I have carried out all the Lord's instruction." Now he's bragging himself now that he take all the God's instruction. Now carry on and say, "But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? What's this is lowing of cattle that I hear?" And Saul answered, "The soldier brought them from the Amalekites. They spear the best of sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroy the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me." Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you are once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you to keep me the king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely and destroy the wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until they have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey?" the Lord asked. "Why did you bounce on plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul said. "I went on a mission the Lord assigned me, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agai, their king." The soldier took sheep and cattle from the plunder, and the best was to devote it to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel said, "Reply, that the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord. To obey is better than sacrifice." To obey is what? Is better than sacrifice. Another God is trying to tell all of us that sacrifice is not a bad thing, but what he's looking for is your obedience to him. Giving your time is so important to the church, but your obedience to his word is so important to him. Do you see that? Volunteering is not bad for the church. It is good because we need volunteer. But obeying his word and live according to his word is so important than the sacrifice that we give for the church. Do you see that? So he said to them, "To obey is better than sacrifice. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as the king." This is what he does to all of us when we decided to disobey God. Disobeying God, it goes so much that you're going to lose. Listen to this. Saul, he was asked to go and kill everything that is in that land. Everything. Nothing to be left out. Everything. Now, when he went there, he decided that he's going to keep the best sheep and the best cow. Now, I was reading the other version of the Bible. His excuse to Samuel, Prophet Samuel, said, the men kept asking me to keep some of it. or in other version of the Bible, say the army asked me to keep some of the sheep. And he did that. Let me tell you one thing. Every time when you make a decision to obey God, your obedience is going to get tested. We are committed to God. When you make a decision, say, you know what? I'm going to fully commit to God. You will have people in your life who's going to talk you out of what God has called you to do. He listened to men more. He listened to the God of Israel. That's where the consequence is. Most of us, sometimes we rather please men instead of pleasing God Almighty. And once you find yourself, you are doing things to favor people or to please another human being, let me tell you one thing, there is a consequence. And the moment you decided that I'm going to do things my way, guess what is that happens? You give birth to the flesh. And what happened when you give birth to the flesh? It is flesh is happening. In other words, Samuel, the moment he said that, you know what, I'm going to keep some of it so that I can offer sacrifice, he disobeyed God. What was operating at that moment, it was not him that is present. The Bible says that, and God rejected you as a king of Israel. The moment you decided to disobey God, the presence of God disappeared from you. It is gone. It is no longer there. The moment when you decided, my flesh is going to take control of the situation, you are telling yourself that, God, you are not in control of my life. I want this to take me. I'm going to be in charge of my life. And guess what? The moment you say that, the presence of God is disappeared. Guess what? Saul, he remained the king of Israel for the next 30 years. He ruled those people. But all this time, the instruction was coming from the prophet Samuel, but God was not with him. Even though he was sitting in the throne, even though you're coming to church every Sunday, and as long as you disobey him, the presence of God is not in your life. The same like Saul. And that's why you can come to church every Sunday, but your life is, if your life is, you one hand, you say, God, I'm going to give 50% of this and 50% of that. Let me, the rest of it is me. You are not controlling me. Then guess what? There's no presence of God in your life. If that decision that you have made it is going to cost you. Every moment that when you decided to disobey God, it's difficult. You're testing. Your obedience to God is going to be tested. It's going to get difficult. We'll have people in your life, they'll tell you, you're going to church every Sunday, there's no change in you. You'll have people that will say, who is this God who never helped you when you're in trouble, when you struggle with that, where was he here then? Let me tell you one thing. I'd rather live in a life that I obey God because I know he's with me. He will protect me and he will guide me. Rather to be in a place where God is not with me and I don't know where I'm heading to. Because I'd rather know that this God, even people that will mock you. I'm sure King Saul, he thought, you know what? These people will laugh at me. He valued people's opinion rather than what God has said to him. And this is where we all Christian, we fail because we don't want to consult God before we make any decision. Only he had to do to say, God, was this the right thing to do? He never. God delights in obedience. And the moment we say we don't obey you, we should obey God regardless what we think, how we feel. Regardless how you feel. I have to do it. It's like the Bible says, you must love people. It is a command. Now, how do I love? You know, have you ever been somebody who hate them very much? But because I'm a Christian, I've met people in my workplace and I see them and I think, I talk to you, but I'm like, God, I just don't like this guy. But you told me to love him. And he talks to me. I say, God, I just don't feel it connection here. But God, I'm giving, you know, I just want to bite him his ears because this guy really annoys me. But because it is command, it is a command. And I'm there to obey God. Because listen to me, the moment, and now, if I don't love you, I'm just going to force myself to love you because that is a command from the word of God. And I'm going to make sure I don't say anything that will destroy your life. Because the moment, listen to me, the Bible is very clear. It says, you know, the devil comes to kill and to destroy. Now, the moment I speak anything word that is to destroy somebody, I partner with the devil. Do you see that? Now, if I, even though how much I hate you, I don't like you, but John just gave a testimony, the power of your speaking with your tongue. The moment when you speak your word to other people's life, you being the child of God and you're supposed to obey his word, He said, your Father in heaven, he loved the wicked and the righteous. He sent the rain to everybody. He doesn't care. And this will show that you're true of my children if you love those who are wicked and those who are not wicked. Do you understand that? Now, the moment you speak negative over other people's life, you have been partner with the devil himself. So I'd rather speak to you, even though how much I hate you, I don't like you, but I say, Holy Spirit, help me. I really don't like this individual, but I am forcing myself because I'm called to obey the word of God. Do you see that, people of God? And as we do that, because God sees the effort that you're putting yourself on, he will help you to make it easier for you to love them, and he'll make it easier for you to see his love for them. You see, he will start to see the love of God, and they will say, you know, you're sowing a seed. All the people have done us wrong, they are aware of it. They are aware that they've caused us so much pain. They know about it. But it is, am I going to do the same way they did to me? No, I'm going to do the opposite. The Bible says that you can all overcome evil with good. And we don't want to do that. We rather think that, you know what? I am going to overcome this evil with evil. You're going to lose the energy. Trust me. Every moment when you're trying to overcome evil with evil, it is you are losing. Nobody else. It is you. You're losing. And that's when you disobey God. And some of us, we think that to disobey God, it comes in a form of package like a sexual sin. No, it's simple things. We think like a sexual sin, that's when we disobey God. Simple, no, no, no. Trust you. If you don't trust the Lord, you've already disobeyed him. This is what happened to Saul. He disobeyed God. He failed to trust God. He failed to see God's power. He was given instruction, but his eye was more on the flesh, material stuff. And most of us here, we fail to disobey God because I need extra money, so I need to go extra shift to God. Because you know what? I don't think this is so important to go to worship here. You value flesh, you love value the money, and you don't think it's so important for you to come into the house of God. You are the same person you've been asking God to give good health, to give a new job, to give a new car. Now on Sunday when he comes, the Bible says keep the Sabbath. You don't want to keep the Sabbath. You're washing the car God gave it to you. Do you see that? And this is, we think, how can God move in life? Psalm 119 says this, bless all who fear the Lord and walk in obedience to him. When we obey God, we put ourselves in a position where God can bless our lives. Hallelujah. Now, I'm tempted to read the whole scripture of Genesis chapter 22, but I'm not going to read that. But if you have time, in Genesis chapter 22, the whole story, if you know the story of it, says, and God asked Abraham, he was tested, and God tested Abraham, and said, go and give your only son Abraham, for me. We know the end of the story. Abraham went up to the mountain, and he offered the sacrifice. Before he was about to kill his own son, and God said, now I know you fear your Lord, your God. And then after that moment, God started to declare the blessing of Abraham. The moment we decided to obey God, I'm not saying that because you're obeying God, that you never face challenges in life. You will do. You'll face them. But the difference is because you walk with God. You'll face difficult decision, but you're with God. But when we decided to obey God, we're putting ourselves in a position where God can bless your life and my life. You're making an opportunity to God to say, you know what? This is how I'm going to give myself to do you, and I want you to bless me. It's not going to be easy like a prophet, like a soul. It was difficult for him. And every time you're going to make a decision this morning, you're going to go out there. Maybe you've disobeyed God in the past. But I want to ask you this question. And if you can go home and just ask yourself this question. You know, the beautiful thing about our Father in heaven, you can talk to him every minute and every second. Now, I wanted to make it, this is a question for you. Have you ever made a decision to obey God as a way of your life? Have you ever made a decision to obey God as a way of your life? Now, that's the challenge to you and the challenge to me as well. We can either obey God and trust him in good and bad circumstance. It's not going to be easy. But we have to remember that God, without obeying His word, without living according to the word, He will not show up in our life. God delights in obedience. Hallelujah. My daughter, we have in the kitchen, we have a basket where we put fruits inside of it. And she found it very joyful where every time when we put all the fruits, she'll walk up there and she put everything on the floor. And sometimes she'll take all the fruit and potatoes and put all of them into the bin. Now, you have to be careful nowadays. Before you throw the garbage, you have to make sure you check inside if there's anything there. So this has been our job for the past, since she started working. Now, she can reach the bin, so she can put everything inside the bin. She'll make a mess every minute, every second. You come in the kitchen, you put all the things together. And then you come back in 5 minutes, she just enjoys doing it. And just all over the place, potatoes, apples, you name it, all over the floor. Now, there's not a single day when my daughter, she did that, I got upset to her, I got annoyed. I've always picked them up and put them back into the basket, and I carry them with life. Now, and this, that's the Holy Spirit talked to me yesterday evening. That is exactly how I see you, Ben. He says to me, when you made a mess right there, I'm your Father who knows you. You're not aware when you make a mess. You're not aware when you disobey me. So he was not aware that he was disobeying God for keeping some of the cattle because he listened to men. On the other hand, there's two things. Every time when God dares to ask you for you to obey, he's going to use something that is valuable to you, that you're going to love very much and so dearly. And for most of us, it's time. Time is so precious to all of us. We don't want to give our time to the Lord because it's so important. Because most of us are thinking, because God tested Abram by asking to give. God is not going to ask you to give your son today. But he's going to ask you something else, your time. We don't want to give up our time to the Lord. I understand that you've made a mess around here. And God says to you, now don't worry about the mess. He can pick it up and put back in. Also, he can go to the bin and then he take away those. But because he knows that you don't know much. That's how compassionate he is, our God. When you disobey him, he's not upset with you. He will never be upset with you because he's a compassionate God. He's the God of the second chances, the second chance and the third chances. He always gives us chance after chance to know that, you know what, I am there. I know you're going to make a mistake. Every time when you decided not to give God your best time to come to church on Sunday to worship him, let me tell you one thing, this. The enemy loves that. Now, God is not looking for the part-timer. Sorry to say that. Churches sometimes become so part-time with the church today. Say, God, I'm just going to give you my part-time. You know, this is my part-time. I'm just going to go this when I feel like it. Just this week, and that's it. You see, I'm sorry if I offended you. But that's the reality. God wants our full committed to him. He wants us to, if you really want to him, to experience his blessing, to experience his power, we truly need to start to obey him. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you need to make him the God. You see, I will, don't worry about the mess you've made. When you disobey, don't worry. I'll deal with that. I forgive you. Start fresh with me. So I want to challenge you when you leave out this place. God delights in obedience. And I want you to challenge you, obey God. Don't worry about the consequence of it. You see, when Abram, when he was offering the sacrifice of son Isaac, he knew, he said, if God gave me, you have to remember, Abram, he waited for that child for so many years. And then all of a sudden, you're asking me for the same son, the same child that I love so dearly, to give him away to you. And God said to him, I want you to give it. But Abram is so spiritual. He understands that he trusted the Lord. Spirit give birth to the spirit. He did not look in the physical that I'm about to give my son. He understood that if he is the same God who gave me a child at my 90 years old, then he is the same God who can restore my child's life. He looked things in the flesh, not in the spirit, rather in the flesh like so. He looked things in the spirit, and what happened is God, he knew, you love me, so I know that you fear me. And that's what obedience is all about. Sometimes you have to make a decision, even if it doesn't make no sense, because you see the bigger picture that it is God and put trust in Him. The requirement of obedience is you have to listen to Him and you have to obey Him and you have to trust Him. God delights in obedience. And I pray we're going to be that kind of church that when we go out of there and people, they see you, they see the glory of God upon us because of His power that is in among us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You that You're so amazing and wonderful. And we just learned that You are delighting in obedience. We just want to ask You, help us, Holy Spirit, because You are our helper and our guidance, Father. I know it's not going to be easy to obey You, Father, but I believe, Father, You are here to help us. And we don't want to live any other way but to live to obey You, because we want to experience Your joy in our life, oh God. Thank You, Lord, because You're so amazing and You're so wonderful. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray and I believe. God bless you.